feet and daylight unto my path. And a light unto, a light unto my path, my path.
Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. Here on Searchlight, we have been looking at the sad descent of King Saul. This was a guy who had so much potential, but pride is bringing him down. He is now more concerned about his own reputation than obedience to God. As we ended our last program, we had just started looking at 1 Samuel chapter 16. God is speaking to Samuel here and telling him to stop mourning about the sin of Saul. It was time for him to move on. Let's now join Pastor John as we see the importance of this exhortation from the Lord.
And the Lord said, verse 1, unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Samuel, fill your horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king from among his sons. Quit your mourning and quit your moaning, Samuel. There's work to do. There's work to do. Fill your horn with oil. Get going. Start serving. But I have reason to mourn. My heart is broken because of what happened to Saul. And I feel deeply. I care passionately, Samuel could say. But God said that day, look, I've moved on. When are you going to? I regret it too. But I've moved on. You need to move on, folks. I need to move on. We need to move on. Yeah, there are things that come into our lives that are hurtful. Even things that sometimes are regrettable. Sad things, hard times, raw deals, pains, problems, disappointments, whatever it might be, but move on. Why? Because God is on the move. And if I stay in the past problem or the past disappointment or the past hurt, I will miss the present move of God, guarantee. If I'm focused on the past, if I'm caught up in the past, if I'm thinking about the past, if I'm overanalyzing my past, I will miss the move of the Holy Ghost in the present moment. You got to keep moving. And that's what God is saying to this wonderful man, Samuel. Why are you still mourning? I've rejected him. I've moved on. That's a closed issue with me. That's a done deal. Sammy, let it go. Give it up. Now, get your horn filled with oil. Oil is a symbol of what? The Holy Spirit. Get spirit filled and get moving again. Good advice. It's from God. It ought to be. God said to Saul, why are you still mourning? I've already moved on. Now, get going. There's work to do. And Samuel said, well, how can I go if Saul hears about this? He'll kill me. That's how bad Saul had become. The prophet is afraid that Saul is going to kill him. Well, the Lord says, well, take a heifer with thee and say, when you go into Bethlehem, I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And you, Samuel, shall anoint unto me him whom I name unto you. Samuel did that which the Lord spake. He came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming. And they said, do you come peaceably? I've known a couple of fellas in my life who have truly been called into the prophetic ministry. They really have the ministry of a prophet. They speak God's heart. They share God's word in such a way that you know that it's prophetic. It's impacting. And the fellow that I know that moves in this most effectively, a dear friend of mine, no longer lives here. But, you know, he used to come to my house a lot, and he would knock on the door. And I can relate to this. Are you coming peaceably? You know, he was a great guy. He is a great guy. A lover of Jesus. But I'll tell you this, when you're around people that have that kind of gifting, and they just seem to know stuff, you know, when they knock on the door, you tend to say, you know, hi. And that's what they said about Samuel that day. Are you come peaceably? And he said, peaceably, I'm come to sacrifice to the Lord. So sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And so he sanctified Jesse, his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, verse 6, when they were come, he looked on Eliab, or Elihu, Jesse's oldest son. And Samuel said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Oh, this is it. This is the guy, without question. But the Lord, verse 7, said to Samuel, Don't look on his countenance or the height of his stature. I refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. I know he looks like a leader, a winner. He has the countenance of a king. But you see, Samuel, I don't look on the outward. I look at the heart. I'm convinced in heaven it's going to be the great reversal. The inside stuff is going to be what is seen. Now, in this life, we analyze how a person looks, how they behave, how they dress, how they carry themselves, or whatever it might be. That's just the way it is. Man does that. But God sees through that. And in heaven, man, it's going to be inside out, and it's going to be reversed from this present world that we live in. It's going to be really something. But anyway, be that as it may, he's not the one. So Jesse called his second son, Abinadab, verse 8, and made him pass before Samuel. Nope, not him either. Then Jesse made son number 3, Shammah, verse 9, to pass by, and he said, nope, this isn't the one either. And again, Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. Samuel said, are these all your kids? Well, there's one more, the youngest. He keeps the sheep. Perfect. What a great place to find a shepherd. He's with the sheep. I got one more boy. He's out there watching the sheep. Samuel said, call him, for we're not going to sit down till he comes. Get him here right away. So he sent and brought him. Now he was ruddy. I've always liked this. He was ruddy. That means he was redheaded. He was ruddy, and he had a beautiful countenance and was goodly to look at. And that's, you know, an interesting combination. When I was growing up, you know, people called me Carrot Top. I used to have bright, bright red hair. Carrot Top and Tomato Head. And I had red, you know, freckles. And, you know, I suffered a lot in those. That's why I am the way that I am today. Shy and insecure. But David was a guy who, yeah, he was redheaded, but he was of a beautiful countenance, and he was goodly to look at. He was a handsome guy. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Interesting. This is the guy. Arise and anoint him. This is the man. Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord, came upon David from that day forward. Couple things here really quickly, important. Please listen. Now David is anointed as king, but Saul is still on the throne. Jesus is the anointed one. The word Christ means anointed one. Jesus is going to rule and reign on this world someday, on a day not too far away. In the meantime, Saul, if you would, the enemy, the usurper, is still on the throne. Who is that? Well, Jesus called the devil the prince of this world. Paul calls the devil the god of this age, Satan. Satan is still usurping power. Jesus is the anointed one. Jesus is the king of kings. Saul is still on the throne of this world for a little while, just like Saul will be in our story, as we shall see. David's now anointed, but he's not yet enthroned. He's not yet in control. God is still at work, preparing the people for David and preparing David for the people. So when people look around and say, well, if you guys believe that Jesus is King of Kings, then why is this world so wacko? Why are there so many problems? Why are things so crazy? And the world is crazy. And there are problems and pains and sadnesses, stupidity. Things are wacko around here. What's wrong? I'll tell you what's wrong. Jesus is not yet enthroned. He is anointed. It's destined. It's going to happen. But you see, there's still events that are taking place according to God's plan, God's perfect plan. Jesus is the anointed one, and he will rule and reign. But Saul, crazy Saul, who we will see is demonized and throwing spears and full of anger, hostility, brutal Saul will still be on the throne for many years. Secondly, I want you to see something else here. For you guys that are involved in service, ministry, or wish to be, notice this. Samuel anoints David here in the midst of his brethren. David is anointed three times. First time is here in the midst of his brethren. The second time is in 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 4. When the men of Judah came and anointed him over the house of Judah, the tribe of Judah. At first, he's just anointed in front of a few of his brothers, that is, his family. Then his tribe, his home tribe, recognizes that David ought to be the king. Saul had died. Saul's son is now trying to take over the kingdom once Saul has died. But the men of Judah, his local tribe, his home tribe, say, we recognize that David ought to be the king. And they anoint him a second time. A third time he is anointed in chapter 5 of 2 Samuel. And this time all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron. And there they anointed David king over all of Israel. I point that out. I'd like to spend a lot of time on that. I won't. But I want you to see something. At first, he's anointed. And just a few brothers see it. Then, years later, there's a second anointing. And his home tribe realizes that David is the man for the hour. He's the one God is raising up, you see. Years after that, several years pass by, and finally, all of Israel sees. This guy is to be our king. And they anoint him as king there in Hebron. Sometimes a man, a woman will say, I know in my soul I'm anointed. And your mom will say to you, I really think you're anointed. Or a couple brothers will say, We see a real anointing on you. And you'll say, well, why don't others see this? It's not time. And later on, your own tribe will gather around. After some battles were fought, after some time had passed, after some victories were won, his tribe gathered around David, and the tribe anointed him, but still the nation was divided. Most of the nation didn't recognize David even then, even when Saul had died. It wasn't until David showed an act of incredible kindness, and I can't tell the story tonight, but you can read it if you choose to. He showed mercy and kindness, and suddenly the whole nation realized he's our guy. And there is an unfolding of God's plan for a woman, for a man in service, in ministry. And you cannot rush it. You can't say, there's an anointing on me. Can't they see the glow on my face? Don't they see the power emanating from my being? Don't they? What's wrong? My mom sees it. David was anointed in the midst of his brethren. Samuel poured the oil out on him. David at that time became the anointed king. But you see, there was still work to be done in David's life and in the life of the nation that he was to rule over ultimately. Anointing happens indeed, but it is received by others in stages. It isn't given automatically, and it doesn't happen quickly. It comes when you fight battles on behalf of others. When you little by little win the victories in caring for, in helping out, in being there, then your tribe gathers around you. And ultimately the whole nation, you see, it all comes to fruition when David was able to show kindness, mercy. And I say that because I think it's important for some of us to remember this. It takes years. David was an incredible man, a man after God's own heart, unlike anybody the world had ever seen up to this time, one of the greatest men in all of history, but it took many years before the anointing was seen nationally. Be patient. Now the Spirit of the Lord departed, verse 14, from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. God's Spirit departs from Saul at this point. An evil spirit comes to Saul. From the Lord? Yes, from the Lord. What does that mean, from the Lord? It means from the Lord. So, well, wait a minute. The Lord, hey, evil spirits, Satan and his henchmen, the demons, can do nothing without the Lord's permission. God is in control. And as such, demons, Satan, actually serve the purposes of God. They really, truly do. Satan serves God's purpose. How so? By providing people like me and you a choice. If there was no Satan, we as people would have no choice. If it was only God, only the Lord, and no alternative, then we would never know if our love was real or genuine. See, love demands a choice. He's saying the choice is yours. If you don't want to love me, walk with me, believe in me, here's the alternative. You can be deceived by the devil, seduced by Satan. You can have that option. Love demands a choice. Love needs to see that it makes choices freely. If I say, Ben, I do not want you going out this afternoon. I want you to stay home. And then I take him and lock him in his room and put bolts on his door and you know, board up his windows and, you know, seal his room tightly. And then I come home later on that night and take away the bolts and so forth and go in and say, oh, what a good boy you are, Ben. You didn't go anywhere. I'm so proud of you. That's meaningless. There has to be an open door for Ben to make a decision. If I am to say to him, well done, Benjamin. Good job, Benny. There's got to be an open door. And God has opened the door, and Satan is a tool, an instrument of God to provide people an open door if they don't choose to stay in God's love or stay close to God's heart. There's an open door, Satan, you see, that they can flee out of. And so this evil spirit is from the Lord. Saul didn't want the Lord, okay, then Satan will have his way. Saul's servant said, "Behold, an evil spirit from God troubles you. Let our Lord now command his servants, which are before you, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp. It shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God is upon thee that he shall play with his hand, and you'll be okay." Saul said, "Provide me now a man that can play well. Bring him to me." Then answered one of the servants, verse 18, "Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters," or wise in matters, "and a comely person, and the Lord is with him." What a resume. Man, there's a guy down in Bethlehem. He's got competence. That is, he's cunning in playing. He's got courage. He's a mighty, valiant man. He's a conqueror. He's a man of war. He's prudent. That means he's cautious. He's careful in what he says and what he does. And he's got charisma. He's a comely person. On top of all that, the Lord is with him. So Saul, verse 19, sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me David thy son, which is with thy sheep." So Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David his son unto Saul. David came to Saul and stood before him, and David loved Saul greatly, and David became his armor bearer. David, this young shepherd boy, was just impressed with Saul. Here's this king. You know, he's the big kahuna, tall, powerful, see? And David just looked at him and loved Saul. In fact, he loved Saul even to the death of that man, Saul, that was after him. David never was bitter, never felt anger, never allowed hatred to rule in his heart. He was always an admirer of Saul. It's an amazing thing to me. Great quality. Just, he loved him. And David became his armor bearer, his right-hand man. And Saul sent to Jesse saying, "Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight." It came to pass when this evil spirit from God came to Saul that David took a harp and played with his hand. And Saul was refreshed and was made well, and the evil spirit departed from him. When worship took place, when music was played by this godly guy, the demons fled away. There is power in praise. Worship works wonders. When I'm depressed or blue, when I feel attacked by the enemy, when I feel that the demons are harassing me, I have found one of the best things I can do is worship the Lord.
And we can do that anytime, anywhere. If you are feeling distressed or oppressed or depressed, now would be a good time to worship. It may be with a song like David did, but it can also just be in the quietness of your heart. When we worship God and acknowledge His goodness and grace, it brings all of our problems into eternal perspective, and that lifts our spirit. This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com. That's johncorson.com.
Most of us desire to spend more time in prayer, just talking with the Lord and hearing from Him. But we often struggle in this area of prayer. In order to help us have a more consistent and effective prayer life, Pastor John has a book called Praying Through the Tabernacle. This book shows us a model of prayer that is based on the Old Testament tabernacle. This is a very practical tool for everyone who desires an intimate walk with the Lord. You may order Praying Through the Tabernacle from the Searchlight website at johncorson.com.
Searchlight is a listener-supported ministry. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.